Hello, I'm David Tollefield from Consulting Foot Pain. This is my latest podcast. It covers, does the UGG factor affect podiatry recruitment? Beyond poor recruitment, the UGG factor is more positive than perhaps we believe, but does it really affect podiatry recruitment? Although there is a perceived emphasis on the unpleasant aspects of some foot conditions, is this really the cause of a lack of interest in an otherwise thriving profession with masses of opportunity? The abiding message should convey podiatry as a medical career. If podiatry does have an UGG association, then medicine also cannot deny its many unpleasant aspects. This article won't fix the problem, but it may help the debate and is based on my TED talk at the Liverpool Foot and Ankle Show on the 15th of October 2021. This covers pretty much most of the content. The baseline comes down to promoting function over condition. Function is our role. Condition defines a small part of patient concerns, and this is where the UGG factor lies. The NHS website suggests we deal with sweaty feet, for example. If we do it, it is only associated with the medical condition called hyperhidrosis. Our role is stabilising the human framework, improving mobility and health through the functional needs of foot problems. So what is this UGG factor? In the 1970s, a surfer called Shane Steadman noted the value of slipping into sheepskin boots once beachside. He quietly trademarked UGG boot, surnamed allegedly after his wife called them ugly. It's a good tale, and after being sold to the United States, the boot went viral. The moral of the tale, ugly is beautiful, if packaged correctly. The question you might ask is, what has this to do with foot health? Well, what's the problem? Like medicine, podiatry has a recruitment and retention crisis. The value behind podiatry is not optimised. Unless we stand back and re-evaluate the concern that the profession is actually not able to deliver, we must accept that our efficiency is dropping and our effectiveness is in doubt. In my 2020 book, Selling Foot Health as Podiatry, I mention journalist Katie Noakes, who points out that in Jobs You Hate, that podiatry is a lucrative yet somewhat unappealing job that is often overlooked by people when they are choosing a career. You'd be dealing with tasks such as ingrown toenails, bunions, ulcers, and many enthralling toe tasks and other fun-filled feet factors. Average earnings of up to £29,000 per year are typically starting points for podiatrists and can ultimately increase up to £40,000 with the right experience and specialised training. Well, this was back in 2015. Noakes might be surprised that while she's right in many cases that the salary today for a successful full-time podiatrist in the NHS might start at the lowest level, band 5 at £24,907, that's based on 2020-21 figures, it can rise to £45,757 at band A using the agenda for change scales, which goes from 5, 6, 7, A and sometimes 9. Consultants are on band 8 and 9, depending upon the specialism, skill and responsibilities for budgetary control. A podiatric surgeon would start at £75,914 on band 8D. That's the top 8 band. In private practice, £30,000 to £40,000, rising to above £100,000 is more likely. The more successful the practice is, the more the potential for earnings. As in the 70s, this is in the NHS, no one was appointed on the basic grade as there were so few podiatrists. Today it is doubtful many would actually stay on band 5 for long. Many would go straight to band 6. What about the NHS not catching up? Well, we see some stark realities. The mantra that we leave closing these gaps to the professional bodies alone is flawed. Podiatrists are members of the profession and must consider their part as well. Much is directed through the needs of the NHS, but in some ways that perhaps is mistaken. Members of this profession are not always travelling in the same direction, and the profession only contributes an estimated 30% of its pure workforce, perhaps not accounting for where the division of work includes part-time podiatrists. What is available in the NHS has been pruned back by successive attempts to cut costs. The National Health Service delivers less care for the elderly than it once did, and has streamlined its care to triage for musculoskeletal services, diabetes, and to a lesser extent for rheumatological problems. Where funded, it promotes foot surgery at a variety of levels. When it comes to image, how many podiatrists care about image? Well, I'd suspect the majority. After all, we want to be regarded as a functionally effective profession with value. Falling recruitment may not be at the front of people's minds. That's unless you're a manager in the NHS or in a large independent practice running a business that requires employees. Falling employment and projected forecast loss is where the main focus is. That's the NHS. But how do we fix the efficiency in both sectors? It's certainly not ideal to compare a full diary or a waiting list efficiency. Efficiency is based on outcomes and benefits to the user of the service, and that's the patient, of course. Ray Kroc saw that the fact that Richard and Maurice MacDonald offered a service where waiting was cut down by more efficient preparation. Now, this was 60 years ago. Look at that franchise now. That's the MacDonald chain. But Kroc brutally attacked the brothers' business acumen, taking it from a family homespun idea to a global product. The independent sector can move more flexibly than the NHS. Taking a lead as much as the NHS might for its specialist areas, the independent podiatrist works around the GP-led practice and direct community access without complex rules of referral. So let's just have a look at some of the facts so far. First of all, the NHS makes up a small proportion of podiatry employment, maybe around 30%. Secondly, the independent sector is overloaded and inefficient, even turning away patients. The need for the nation's foot health is at stake. We are told we're a core service in the NHS. Workforce planning has revealed a drop in NHS recruitment, which is worsening. Higher education has seen a drop in college admissions, serviced by 40% between 2016 and 2019. Let's take a little look at career decisions. Based on a paper by Witham et al. In 2021 around the University of Brighton, admissions reveals some of the reasons for shortfall and poor traction to podiatry. Armed with this knowledge, we know that recruitment cannot compensate for loss, which is perhaps worse than other allied health professions. Witham set out to look at Generation Z. That's the group that covers 1997 to 2012, also known as the digital natives. That means today, if you are 24 or younger, you've been categorised. There have been few papers on the state of podiatry, the podiatry profession. Those that have been produced come from surveys. They tell us how we, as a profession, see ourselves from the public's perspective. Now, this is actually a waste of time because it doesn't really seek out to find what drives people into the profession. And this is where the blockage arises. The future of any profession is based on a healthy recruitment programme. The paper yields more questions than it answers. The first fact lies in the realisation that podiatry recruits two groups, sometimes equally, sometimes disproportionately. Mature versus school leavers. This tends to change the dynamics of a profession from both positive and negative reasons. In my landscape interviews conducted during the periods March 2020 to March 2021, recruitment came from failed first choices. That's not getting to medicine first, or dentistry, veterinary science, general science, and pharmacology, as some of the common examples. Next, there was family experience, where someone influenced the younger member using their professional knowledge of podiatry as an existing practitioner. Or it came from a positive experience, as a patient or role model. Podiatrists suffering from an ingrown toenail, for example, or verruca, were undeniably high on the list of pre-admission experiences. Witham's paper compared podiatry students at the same university with students who entered under other health courses for that same institution. The paper is one of the first to use a control and to look at a similar population from the incoming university cohort. The paper is complicated, uses research methodology, but it's worth reading in full. But to summarise, here are some of the key points. Poor role models don't exist in podiatry as recognisable people. If we look at medicine, we've got things like CSI, Silent Witness. We've got medical off-the-wall programmes like GPs Behind Closed Doors. Call the Midwife provides us with both a mixture of midwives and doctors working under constrained positions. It contains both comedy, it contains pathos and tragedy. And these are things which attract people to professions, not just the salary alone. When it comes to podiatry, we've probably only got one significant film called A Private Function, where Michael Palin paid the chiropodist at the time on a bicycle with a large foot sticking out of a basket. His name was Gilbert Chilvers, and he was at loggerheads with the local doctor, who didn't regard him very highly. Not perhaps the best, if you want to compare it to, say, dentistry, which is in our face every night with toothpaste. Then there's title confusion. We've got chiropody equated to old people. Now that might sound somewhat pejorative, but in reality it's not. It's just the fact that people are really dovetailing it into pigeonholes, and chiropody is no longer so much around. There's no degree in chiropody any longer, so it's pretty pointless using chiropody. Podiatry is the word, and it covers a massive range of material. One of the other concerns from the students was the hidden scope potential. Many of the students, prior to coming to college, actually looked information up from the United States podiatry sites and also the organisations, which led them to realise that podiatric surgery was an offer. Insufficient information generally was criticised compared to some of the allied health professions. So how are we going to define podiatry? Well, many podiatrists will be familiar with the excellent work of Lisa Farndon, who coined the term core podiatry around 2006. In my early days of what was then known as chiropody, it came to be known as the full treatment: nails, corns, footwear and foot health advice. Now, one of the problems is that footwear and foot health advice is really poorly promoted, and this gives a golden opportunity for podiatrists to get up there and shout about products, if only we could work with the industry itself. If we go back to the portrayal of the NHS and what podiatry does, there are some good descriptions, but what sticks out is that bulleted list. Now, if there's ever an UG factor, it's all here. Corns and calluses, verrucas, athlete's foot, smelly feet, dry cracked heels, flat feet, bunions, heel pain, ageing feet, blisters, gout and sports injuries. I mean, medicine pretty much has all of these conditions, but packaged as a primary role, you're never going to persuade people that this is an exciting profession. Never has there been such a disconnect and a metaphorically likened aspect to a restaurant menu. It says nothing about the principles, let alone the aims of podiatry. Now, what about this UG factor in helping us to recruit? Well, as communicators, we are sending the wrong message. But here's the rub. Talk to the greater percentage of podiatrists and core podiatry is what they deliver. Should you stop delivering core podiatry? Stop talking about corns, callus, sweaty feet, ingrown toenails, bunions and hammer toes. Well, absolutely not. But podiatry is not about the full treatment. It's about diagnosis, dealing with pain, managing tissues evaluating and managing deformity so we can improve movement and in health. That's mobility of our patients, ability to walk. So let's have a look at the health kit. It's known as AID, AID, your promotional message, the framework of your scope, your skill. It makes up the uniqueness of what a podiatrist does. Brian Cragg, a Canadian podiatrist, decided to use one of the best UG Factors examples, not least as it was role model based. Ellen DeGeneres interviewed the Hollywood actor Mark Wahlberg after he had an ingrown toenail back in 2013. The Mail Online reported as follows. Too much information. Mark Wahlberg shares graphic details of his ingrown toenail with Ellen DeGeneres. You can YouTube it. It's pretty uggy, definitely. Now, this concept is an example of positive promotion, and yet it is glossed over, ridiculed, and not used by either the profession or practices to optimum benefit. Actually, in the Wahlberg case, a number of podiatry practices made use of an opportunity to advertise. But this was in North America. The truth is that if podiatry's UG and you don't fancy a career in podiatry, does it matter? Well, no, of course not. Not everyone becomes a podiatrist, neither would it be really ideal. But what does matter is this is a brilliant career that helps people get better and will appeal to those who have a deep, inquiring mind to solve foot problem puzzles. But can we rely on a diet of core concepts, and are these the right concepts? We are, after all, salesmen, and the way to sell is to command your product. Shine, be the best you can. Above all, we need to market ourselves. So let's rebrand this condition and make it more functional. Look at the triangle in my article. If you can consider a triangle with its three sides, in the middle we've got stability, we've got optimum mobility, helping people to walk, and optimum health, that is maintaining their health at peak. On the three sides, we've got alignment on the left and integrity on the right, and at the bottom, the base, we've got discomfort. Alignment is related to deformity, integrity related to tissue viability. Discomfort is related to pain management. So let's consider each of these in a little more detail. Alignment is about shape, posture and deformity, and we manage this to bring about the best function. Integrity is associated with all tissues, not just skin. Discomfort makes the symptoms that define the value of the treatment to the patient, but it's not confined to the urgency of treatment. Alignment is important for the function of joints and muscles within and outside the foot, which includes the leg. Diseases from the arthritides include rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, ankylosing, spondylitis, gout, and psoriatic arthritis, as well as the osteochondritides. Muscle fatigue, as in shin splints, lateral ankle instability, fasciitis can be assisted with many modalities from injection therapy to mechanical devices. We look at the integrity. Vascular integrity is essential to a functioning foot and healthy limb. The mention of limb with foot is important as the foot and ankle are components working in harmony. Podiatrists have always embraced the whole limb as part of their knowledge. Podiatrists are taught to evaluate circulation and changes within the vascular patency. That's from chilblains to ischemia and venous thrombosis. Inflammation and infection are features of tissue integrity. The body can release chemicals and cellular reactions, destabilizing tissue, escalating discomfort leading to disability. While the necrotic ulcer is the type of feature that springs to mind, it is but one feature of tissue integrity. If the main foot tissues are at fault, function alters with pain as a secondary feature. Each element will drive different responses, but all will reduce mobility. The deep bursa, an abscess, foreign body, chronic fasciitis, tendinitis. Although rare, osteomyelitis can still occur in healthy patients. Disease and ageing brings strokes, cerebellar disturbances as in Parkinsonism, myelin nerve deterioration as in multiple sclerosis, Conditions associated with the skin from melanoma, hyperhidrosis, scleroderma, epidermolysis bullosa, pyogenic granuloma, epidermoid cysts, and squamous cell carcinoma again features part of abnormal health. What about discomfort? Well, if pain is the driver, then the cause fits alignment and integrity. All three impact mobility. Fix these and the outcome will improve. Testing these concepts further, take Morton's neuroma or tibial nerve compression in the tarsal tunnel, where we see pain as the prime symptom. Each intervention can prevent surgery, deterioration, and offer a return to normal activity. If the tissue has deteriorated at the neural level, probably due to alignment pathology, then a use of orthoses plays a large part in prevention. So, let's pull it all together. All podiatrists apply the concept of AID. No podiatrist fails to contribute to these processes. Podiatrists restore mobility by managing foot health optimally. This brand has taken half a century to achieve, and yet it has always existed. A profession that once dealt with structures associated with skin and nails alone is now inaccurate, and yet it is still promulgated by some groups. Dictionary definitions are unhelpful and change across the English-speaking world. A US-based dictionary views a podiatrist differently from the British dictionary. So, who sets these boundaries? Well, contrary to belief, it is not the Healthcare Professions Council, but the profession itself. Who is the profession? Well, it's us. The culmination of what we do is allied to a triangle that interacts between mobility and health, based upon the alignment of the skeleton and tissues, tissue integrity, or working without pain. Without these features, any single component might deteriorate, and the end result is the loss of stability and well-being. If we return to the ideas of core podiatry, we can see the whole or holistic picture. The principle behind embracing the UGG boot is to take a subject that might not appeal and make it work. This means that aside from the excitement of MSK work, managing his high-risk medical cases and undertaking bone surgery, general podiatry is exciting and has all of the ingredients seen in the James Herriot book on veterinary science, or a Dr. Max Pemberton story, or an Adam Kay. What do all these books have in common, though? Humour, and a reality blended together in a mix from powerful anecdotal tales. So, what can we learn from all of this? Well, I can't teach you anything you don't want to hear, or don't want to apply, or think is impractical. But what I can tell you is if you decide how to process and promote information as part of good communication, then success can arise. Don't forget your roots. Always be prepared to accept some of those tasks that you provided your patients to help them with, no matter how basic it might seem. Learn how to use stories to win patients and promote the career of podiatry. Keeping people mobile covers everything under an easy-to-understand the concept, but bear in mind we're interested in medical health stability first. The impact on society, which is often known as burden of health, is forever our goal and comes in the form of dealing with four main components. That's health, which we keep talking about, happiness, keeping people happy so that they can go about their lives without interruption, financial prosperity, and community integration. This is all, of course, impacts on mental well-being. I'll leave you with one salutary fact. Medicine is in the worst shape ever, and we must exploit this shortfall, be it in the NHS or independent practice. You might think that all the working parties' reports in the world will massage our hopes for the future, but be very careful. Change comes from the heart and from the people who do not preach about hopes, but act. If you want the best example, love them or hate them, podiatric surgeons did just this. They saw, they arrived, and they conquered, taking on the most powerful medics, the orthopaedic surgeons. The battle has been fought, and the war now needs wrapping up, knowing many medical specialties are happy to collaborate. Just remember one thing. This is not about the NHS alone and must be driven by the whole profession. The opportunity that podiatrists have today, should they wish to take up the mantle, will be to ensure their medical knowledge expands. Independent prescribing, new diagnostic equipment, new techniques must not be the domain of the podiatric surgeon alone. Podiatry is a medical career. Go out and make it so. Don't be afraid to take a leap of faith.